Here is what you missed this morning on the Catholic Morning Show.
Let's go to our next guest, Executive Director of the Iowa Catholic Conference, Tom Chapman, in studio with me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, John.
Nothing going on in the news lately, right? Everything's calm and peaceful in your world. First of all, for those that don't know about the Catholic Conference, what is the Iowa Catholic Conference?
Well, the Iowa Catholic Conference is the public policy group for the four Catholic bishops of Iowa, so I represent them at the Capitol.
So this is a big deal, Roe versus Wade, and the ruling that took place on Friday. Where were you? How did this come down for you?
Well, I'll tell you, I was sitting in a hotel room in Dubuque. Mm-hmm. I had a presentation Thursday night in Dubuque at St. Joseph the Worker, and we knew that this decision might be coming out, Friday morning. So I was clicking refresh on my computer, waiting for the opinions to come down. So that's where I was. And it's, to be honest, it's quite a moment when you've been waiting for something like this, for so many years. Many people have been working on this and praying for this for 50 years, yeah. And I've been working on it for a long time, so it's something.
Who calls you when this takes place? The bishops call you? What happens?
Well, no, we've already kind of worked out what we're going to do, yeah. So we email back and forth, but I hear from some of the coalition of pro-life leaders, Pulse Life, Advocates of Iowa, and Iowa Right to Life, and the family leader, people like that. There was quite a buzz going on among us, Friday morning for sure.
Do you work closely with them?
Yeah, on this issue particularly, we do, because our interests are aligned on this, and we're very much pro-life organizations and want to work on that in policy. And, pastorally, I think, is what we have a lot of work to do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right on that. Okay, so the bishops, have they released a statement? Has there been something that's come out?
Yeah, they definitely, when the leak came out on the opinion a month ago, they put out a statement saying this is kind of our thoughts on, we've been praying for Roe to be reversed for a long time. But no matter what happens, we really need to look to the needs of women and children and families and try to support them in the parishes and through our state policy. So that was really a top priority for them in their statement.
I know this is probably a ridiculous question, but I'll ask it anyway. Were the bishops united in this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is something really when the pro-life movement, I would say, reacted to Roe v. Wade when that came out in 1973. It was only the Catholic Church that was opposing that ruling. Mm. Many other church groups, even evangelical ones, did not oppose it. Mm. This was a Catholic Church thing to start, and I'm glad we were able to see this through.
So you are down at you're not down at the Capitol a lot right now, you were saying, right?
Right, yeah, they're not in session, right.
So what are you working towards? What are you doing with this specifically? People coming to you, and what do they want?
I think the main thing we're working on right now is we still need to have the Protect Life Amendment, which would go back to our state constitution, because that's what Roe did, is send it back to the states.
Yeah.
So in many states, abortion is going to be legal for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa, it's still up in the air what kind of abortion right we have in the state constitution. There was a decision of the Iowa Supreme Court a week ago Friday, which reversed their finding of a fundamental right to abortion, but they left the question open. So we really need a Protect Life Amendment, which would, make sure that our state constitution does not secure a right to an abortion.
Now, can that change depending on who's in office, was to go through?
Well, in terms of the Protect Life Amendment, that would really lock it down, I think, because it would put it in the state constitution. But one of the issues we've seen with the courts over the years is that they do change, their membership does change, depending upon who's been the executive in the state or the country. And so opinions change. And so mm-hmm. we'd like to clarify that.
Now, that's interesting because I don't know a lot about that. Is this going to be a long process?
Well, we're about halfway through or maybe a third of the way through. It did pass the legislature in 2021.
Okay.
Now we have to come back in January and pass it next session in the exact same form. And then it will go to a vote of the people of Iowa in 2023 or 2024. So the people of Iowa ultimately will get to decide what their constitution will say about the abortion issue.
So this will go down to a vote?
Yeah, absolutely. It's because it's a constitutional provision. It's not a law.
So why in other states is it almost just kind of like that?
Well, other states have laws that outlawed abortion, either long-standing laws or laws that were passed recently that said, you know, if Roe v. Wade goes down, this law goes into effect.
I see.
And so here in Iowa, because we had a state constitutional right to an abortion, there was a heartbeat law that was passed,
yes,
you know, but that never could go into effect. And so that's also another question. Is that going to go back into the legal process and maybe get changed? And so that can go into effect as well.
So where does Iowa stand right now?
Right now, abortions are legal through 20 weeks of pregnancy.
Okay.
Right now. And that's going to continue for a while until either some of this legal work changes or there's laws that can go into effect. But once
that
again,
could, that could not change until there's a vote upon, on the people.
Well, it's... To be honest, you can't answer for sure because we don't know what the courts will say.
Sure.
But I think people just need to realize that the question's not over. It's really what we've seen, I would say, is the end of the beginning.
Okay.
And now it's really a legal and political question and a pastoral question. And really, it's where it belonged in one sense. You know, now the state legislatures and the states can decide. One of the problems we had with Roe is that it took it out of the political process and just left it up to judges. And that's really not healthy for our political system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have a lot of fights on this issue, but I think it's healthier for our country to actually have the fights rather than to have that bottled up.
Interesting. So if those that might say, well, our work here is done.
Oh, my, no.
It's not done.
Not at all. I mean, we've got the piece where we need to help women and children and you know, intervisions.
Right.
Many parishes have good programs. We need to make those stronger, you know, in this time. That's number one, I would say. Number two is we've got to get our laws in place.
Mm. Supreme Court. You're talking a little bit about it here. Help us understand how this ruling came down.
Well, it's really, I would say, the end of a 50-year legal project, because most people would say the Roe decision was really not based on any good legal theory.
Mm-hmm.
It was just what the judges at the time wanted to do. And so there's been a very strong effort over the years to find judges that would interpret the text of the Constitution in the right way, get them through the legal process, get them attorneys, get them judges, and eventually get people appointed to the Supreme Court. And that's been, you know, no secret that that's been a process that's been going on for decades. And it actually came true, which it was actually successful in that sense. And so I think we can all be grateful that, you know, more lives will be saved.
Yeah.
You know, more lives will be saved. So many lives have been lost to this issue. It's touched so many families, you know, and I think this could bring some blessings to our country that we're kind of moving in the right direction. I'm hopeful in that regard.
Is their work done, the Supreme Court?
Yeah, they've basically washed their hands of it, you know, for the foreseeable future and just said, you know what? It wasn't really a pro-life decision where they said we need to protect life. It mm-hmm. was just the Constitution says nothing about it. There's no legal theory that says there is a right to abortion in this Constitution. Therefore, it's not something we're going to deal with. It should go back to the political process. So they should be, you know, you'd think they'd be done. I mean, there's always laws and challenges, but I would say it's been decided for the foreseeable future.
When the document was leaked, this was the first I even knew this was on their desk. You know, a thought that they were discussing. Did anyone else know that that was taking place?
Well,
that this
people,
was in the works?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. I mean, this was a Mississippi law that stopped abortion after 15 weeks of mm-hmm. pregnancy, and it was struck down at the lower level because of precedent. And so this came back up to the Supreme Court. I think they were ready to hear it. And Mississippi specifically said, you know, Roe v. Wade was decided wrongly, you should reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really the first time in many years that the court actually looked at that decision and decided whether to keep it or reverse it. And so this has been in process for a couple of years, and, you know, finally it came true.
So John Roberts, he said that he came down on the side that I'm for Roe v. Wade being overturned for Mississippi, but not the country?
Yeah, well, what it was is, you know, he thought he just wanted to decide this very narrowly, and he would have upheld the Mississippi law, but not got to the part of was Roe v. Wade decided wrongly or not.
Mm-hmm.
He would not have reached that question. But frankly, he was the only one out of the nine that had that opinion.
And then the court, the other five said, we want to take this to the national level.
Yeah, exactly. They said, we want to deal with this constitutional question and get it dealt with and move on.
This is really fascinating stuff. Yeah. I don't know the legal kind of ins and outs of all of this. When this was released, what kind of work did you go to? Or I'm sorry, this was a month ago, kind of leaked.
Yeah, sure.
Do they have any, by the way, background on who did this and how it came out yet?
No, we haven't heard. I mean, I would suspect we'll hear someday.
There's got to be
somebody's
rumors.
Probably proud of what they did. You know, we'll hear. I don't know. I wouldn't begin to speculate who did it, but yeah, there it certainly kicked off.
None of you lobbyists
process.
Are talking about that.
No, well,
secret information.
Everybody would like to know, but nobody really knows. And that's the Supreme Court is kind of a black box in the sense that nobody knows really what's going on within that.
Yeah.
And so I think we'll hear someday.
And really interesting. Yeah. All right, so where do we go as a church in the state of Iowa? The bishops are, you said, focused on women.
Yeah.
And helping women and children in the state of Iowa, shoring up a lot of those policies, right?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of opportunities here. The state legislature just this year passed the Iowa Moms Program, which is starting with $500,000 to help pregnancy counseling centers, you know, to do their work with some things like diapers and things that, you know, mothers need. We need to keep helping in terms of our state policies and trying to cover women in Medicaid who have had children for a longer period of time. We're going to keep working on that. But then once again, we each should be looking into our own hearts and saying, what can we do to help women and families? What pregnancy counseling center is nearby that we can support? Or what is our parish doing or not doing that we should be? I think that's something we all need to be looking to. And then I think there's going to be the policy questions of the Protect Life Amendment and whatever other legislation that may come forward to try to protect preborn children.
You know, friends, this is not an issue that is done. And we've said this a number of times already here. And as Tom just said, it's time for us as a church to continue this work, the pro-life movement, and what it is that we're doing, and to ask ourselves some of those questions. And am I doing enough? Or is our parish doing what it is that it needs to do? We talk about InterVisions just next door. You know, I mean, this has been something close to my heart for a long time. The work that they are doing now couldn't be any more important or vital than what they were doing even before. And I think it's time for us as a church to continue to look deep within our hearts and to see how it is that we can help continue to save lives and to help these women in the choice that they make for life. Anything else? Anything I'm missing?
I know. I think you've covered it pretty well. I think we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But I think we should just be grateful what's happened so far.
You're a good man, Tom. Todd, I enjoy having you on, despite what Paulette says. You're a good man. And she has done some awesome work, I know, in the diocese here. Executive Director of the Iowa Catholic Conference, Tom Chapman, everyone. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, John.
Listen to the Catholic Morning Show weekday mornings at 7 on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network, iowacatholicradio.com, or the Iowa Catholic Radio app.